Welcome to the Keeping It Young radio program, conversations about marriage, family, and ministry life. I'm Dave.
And I'm Bethley.
And we are the Youngs. We're happy you joined us again today as we begin a brand new conversation entitled Dealing with Anger. We think you're going to enjoy this one and profit from it as well. So let's get started. And we have enjoyed preparing for a new series.
Yes, we have.
Over the next coming weeks, we're going to be talking about emotions and personalities and all that goes into handling our own emotions, not allowing our personalities to damage us. What are some of the things we're going to be dealing with in coming topics here?
Well, we're going to be talking about anger.
That's
which
a huge
seems
one.
To be a huge issue, whether it be in a marriage or a parenting situation, or even I have parents say to me, I have a very angry child. Mm-hmm. What do we do? So we have anger. Anger often leads to bitterness, which can be in and of itself a whole episode or two.
Yes.
So we will deal with bitterness. We will be touching on depression, those overwhelming emotions that really get us down. Now, we are not clinical in any way, so we will not be using this episode to diagnose anything or anything like that. We will just be talking about how to handle hurts and that overwhelming emotion biblically. And then we're going to be talking about personalities that can lead to some of our emotions getting out of whack. Maybe the introvert, extrovert, where you are on the scale. They have all these different scales. You can take all these different tests. And then we will also be talking a lot about, or some about, narcissism. We get a lot of questions about how to deal with a narcissist.
That's exactly right. And the even the idea of extrovert and introvert, it's almost humorous now, because we're even breaking those down into smaller categories. I'm a closet extrovert. I'm a closet introvert.
Right. Or even on whatever that scale is. Is it called an Enneagram or something like that? I don't know. I'm probably mispronouncing that because I haven't taken all of these tests. I just do what I do. But anyway, there's all these letters. So I'm an introvert, NJZ, whatever.
Right.
I know I'm saying that wrong. And please don't think I'm making fun of you if you like to do all those personality tests. But some of these things can lead us to excuse emotional behaviors that are not biblical.
For you that are listening, that's a key word. We never want to allow these things to lead us to excuse our behavior.
Yes.
So that's a key word there. So we want to draw attention to that. But go ahead and explain what we mean by that. Don't allow our personality. Don't allow some tests you took online. Don't allow things in your life for you to come to the place of just saying, well, that's just how I am. That's just how I am.
Right.
So we can't allow these things. We can't excuse these things. That's the word you were using there.
We cannot. I talk to ladies sometimes who are, I'm such an introvert and I have got to have time to recharge, which I understand. David and I go. And I would not so much call us introverts because we do love to be with people. But we do hit a time where we're just like, we just need a little bit of recharge. But if we don't get that recharge, it does not give us an excuse to behave in a rude way to people, to not honor a schedule. And I sometimes talk to ladies who are just, after Sunday, I can't go anywhere for a whole week. I've just got to be at home. Well, we have to marshal those emotions biblically because there are things that we are called of God to do. And we just have to get out there and do it, whether we're an introvert, an extrovert, whether we're an N, a J, an M, or a Z, or a Y. there are just some things we just have to handle biblically so that we can't excuse. And sometimes even Dave and I were just talking right before we started recording how that sometimes couples will use introvert, extrovert to excuse conflict in their marriage because, well, he's an introvert and I'm an extrovert or vice versa. And so we just don't get along because I want to go and he doesn't or whatever. Mm-hmm. We cannot excuse unbiblical behavior because of how we have labeled ourselves in this culture.
Sure. So we want to deal with the fact that you cannot use these issues as an excuse for failures on your part.
Right.
And on the other hand, we want to caution you that you don't want to use these issues of emotions and personalities as just a tool to explain, this is why I am how I am, and this is why I am who I am.
Right.
And that's very similar probably to the idea of excuse. But often we will find people that explain, hey, I know you think I'm rude, but I am just, and they'll name the emotion.
Right.
Or I know that you think, or my husband thinks, but he just doesn't understand that I am. Right. So we self-diagnose our mm-hmm. emotions and then make excuses for our emotions right. and for how, and then we explain this is how I am and why mm-hmm. I am, rather than grow through them. God gave us emotions. Emotions are God-given.
Yes.
And we ought to thank God for them. Love yes. is an incredible emotion.
Yes.
And joy is an incredible emotion. Mm-hmm. But although those are crazy popular, you know, emotions, surely everybody wants to be in love. Everybody wants joy. We also do have to deal with the other emotions. Anger is an emotion that we all are susceptible to.
Yes.
That we all deal with on a regular basis, especially mm-hmm. in the idea that anger has the idea of it's when I'm provoked.
Right.
And how often in a marriage relationship do we end up provoking each other? Sometimes unintentionally.
Right.
The way way something was said, or the way something was responded to, or I thought that was funny, you didn't think that was funny. There's a whole ton of,
right.
of provoking.
Yes.
And so although anger is not a popular emotion in the sense of yay, the idea is that we live by emotions. God gave us emotions. It's part right. of what makes us in the image of God.
Yes.
We have the ability to feel mm-hmm. and to explore our emotions. Mm-hmm. And it connects us on all kinds of levels. And of course, we live in a sin-cursed world.
Right.
So rather than handle our emotions properly and biblically and spiritually, we frequently end up handling our emotions unwisely and in an unhealthy way.
Well, and in this culture, it is very popular to just be who you are. You be you. So if you're an angry person, you just be an angry person, as long as you don't hurt anyone else. And then there are even excuses for, well, you know, they have a lot going on, and so they got angry, and yes, they might have destroyed something that they should not have destroyed, but it's okay. You know, our culture just excuses so much emotion, mm-hmm. and the Bible doesn't excuse it. It does tell you that, yes, God created us with emotions. God created us with all kinds of different personalities. And aren't you glad we're not all the same? I am so glad we're not all the same, because we have such a colorful, colorful world with all the people that are in it and even in the church. But God also gives us guidelines for all of our different emotions. He gives us biblical truth that we can apply so that we can live as a light in this world instead of blending in with the culture.
So we really want to talk over the next couple of weeks about handling our emotions and our personalities in healthy ways.
Yes.
And helping our relationships to be stronger.
Yes.
Through our emotions and our personalities.
Yes.
So that's where we're headed. So let's just jump in today and take a few moments and talk about this first one, because it's an easy one
mm-hmm.
and one that is universal.
Yes.
Let's talk about anger. Mm-hmm. That is a huge emotion.
Yes.
And the anger issue is all over the spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we will run into people in our meetings that defend anger. Mm-hmm. You better believe I'm angry. You better believe I am. I even had one man tell me once that, of course I get angry. Jesus got angry, didn't he?
Right.
And so they defend the anger issues and actually even often frequently refer to anger as something that is very righteous. They believe right. it's very righteous.
Well, and they will call it that. I have righteous anger or righteous indignation about this. And they might even have a verse yeah. to back it up.
And usually what we're finding there is that's an excuse and an explanation for my behavior.
Mm.
This is my excuse. I believe anger is justified and spiritual.
Mm.
So they make an excuse for their anger and they explain it away.
Right.
And it's almost as if I'm not responsible for my anger, because mm-hmm. that's just how I am. And besides, I'm being spiritual when I get angry.
Right.
But that is I'm convinced that's a dangerous way to live.
Well, and anger out of control and not handled biblically is one of the most damaging emotions that could come into a home and a family or
Absolutely.
A church.
And because it damages relationships.
Yes.
And so the Bible says a lot about these. And let's just review in Ephesians. He does tell us in Ephesians that we are to put off our old man, referring mm-hmm. to our nature that is controlled by sin.
Right.
He says that it's corrupt.
Yes.
The word there is rotten.
Mm.
So we're never to allow the old sin nature in its rottenness.
Mm.
to damage our relationships,
right,
and to hurt our relationships, and to excuse negative behavior, and for us to give us an opportunity to explain, well, that's just how I am, and there's, you know, just get over it.
Right.
Because the Bible says we're to put that off, and he says we're to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. So we are to think clearly about our emotions.
Right.
And we're to apply truth to our emotions. That's the point of being renewed in the spirit of our minds. And we're to put off and put on the new man. All of us who are believers, and this, Beth and I know that maybe you're not a believer, some of you that listen to this, but most of our audience would be those who profess to be believers. We profess to be Christians, so it matters how we live, okay? And we've got to be careful about that. So read for us in Ephesians 4, verses 26 and 27 and verse 31 as well.
All right. I was also noticing you were referring to verses, Ephesians 4, verses 22 through 24.
Yes.
And in verse 24, where it says to put on the new man, it says that God creates this new man in righteousness and holiness. Mm. And when we obey the word of God in how we handle our emotions, especially concerning, we're going to talk about anger today. When we apply that and we have a truly righteous attitude instead of a sinful, angry attitude, when we have a truly holy, which just means set apart unto God, Lord, I'm going to set apart my emotions unto you. That's just a beautiful thing. I feel like that would, it sounds like a much more peaceful home, doesn't it, than an angry home.
Absolutely.
So as we're going on, as I'm going to, you know, submit to David here now and actually read the verses that he asked me to read.
Is this a matter of submission?
Here
this
we
is,
go. Okay.
This is good.
Ephesians 4, 26 and 27. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. And then it goes on to say in verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice.
That is just some powerful verses right here.
Yes.
One of the verses that's difficult to handle is verse 26, where he says, be ye angry and sin not. And the reason that's very difficult to handle is because most folks say there, see, anger's justified, because
yes,
the Bible
I can
even
be
says
angry.
Command to be angry.
Yes.
Matthew Henry, I think, had the best explanation of that. Matthew Henry said, this cannot be a command. Cannot be a command because we are actually told later to get this out of our life.
Right.
So he can't be commanding us on the one hand to do it and then later saying, no, remove it.
Right.
So what he says it is it's a concession to our emotions, not a command to be angry, but a concession to our emotions. And to me, that's the only way that verse makes sense.
Right.
Because of all the other passages that warn us to get anger out of our life, get anger out of your life, get anger out of your life.
Right.
So what he's done here is given us a concession to the fact that we are emotional people.
Mm-hmm.
How often are we provoked? Someone can pull out in front of us and it provokes anger emotions in our life.
Right.
Our spouse can respond to us in a way we didn't feel like we deserve that.
Mm.
We can get impatient.
Yes.
With each other. And those provoke us to anger. And some people have excused anger for so long, it has become the norm of their life.
Mm.
I actually have told our children through the years, we just made it a rule. If I sensed anger in the heart of a young man, our daughters are not permitted to date them.
Right.
If there's anger in the heart of a young man, we don't want our kids being friends with them.
Mm-hmm.
If there's anger in the heart of a lady, we don't want our sons to date her.
Right.
Because anger is a negative emotion that damages everything in its path. You've been listening to Keeping It Young, as today we began our series entitled Dealing with Anger. We know you've profited from it, and we look forward to continuing this conversation tomorrow. In the meantime, remember you can find more about Keeping It Young at tilradio.org, or you can visit our website, keepingityoungpodcast.com. Today's program has been a co-production of TIL Radio and Keeping It Young. Thanks for listening. And remember to serve the Lord with gladness.
For more information or to hear more Keeping It Young, go to tilradio.org or keepingityoungpodcast.com. This has been a co-production with Keeping It Young and TIL Radio Network.